Herzlich willkommen zu einem neuen Jahr Otto Talk. In diesem Podcast sprechen wir mit Persönlichkeiten aus der Umgebung und reden über Themen und aktuelle Neuigkeiten, von denen ihr noch nichts wusstet.
Gute und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Sonderfolge vom Otto Talk. Heute wird uns Leni vom Englisch-LK von Frau Gemma The Vanishing Half von Britt Bennett vorstellen. Insbesondere geht es um die Hauptcharaktere, die Zwillingsschwestern und deren Töchtern. Und außerdem noch um die Manipulation von Beziehungen zwischen Charakteren und auch viele Arten von Manipulation.
Hello and welcome to Kickoff. Today we'll be discussing The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, published between 1968 and 1988. I'm excited to share my thoughts on this because it's a very complex novel of historical fiction, family saga, and mystery. The Vanishing Half follows two twin sisters, Stella and Desiree Veens, who grew up in the small black town of Mellet. As adults, they take radically different paths. Desiree returns home with her dark-skinned daughter Jude, while Stella secretly passes over as a white woman, cutting ties with her past and her family. The novel traces their separate lives over decades, along with the lives of their children, Jude and Kennedy. The book explores how race, identity, family, and secrecy shape who the characters become, and at its core, it's about the cost of reinventing yourself and what parts you can never fully make disappear or keep hidden. The Vanishing Half offers a broad range of different topics to choose from and talk about. Those topics being race, identity, trauma, colorism, sexuality, and personal reinvention. But one of the more overlooked themes of the book is manipulation. But why is the topic of manipulation so important to The Vanishing Half? A lot of characters decide to manipulate each other for their own personal goals. One of the best examples in the book, and the earliest examples of manipulation, are Desiree and Stella. Desiree always has been the more wild twin. She's been the strong-willed one, the one to not be interested in studies, but rather in pursuing an acting career. Stella, on the other hand, always favors her studies. She wants to go to school, and she wants to become something greater than the small town. Both twins have the urge to leave Mellet, leave behind the small and traumatizing environment they have been put through. But it has always been desire to kind of push Stella into this direction of actually leaving. "Let's go," Stella groaned, rolling over, the sheets knotted around her ankles. She'd always been a wild sleeper, prone to nightmares she'd never talked about. "Where?" Stella said. "You know where. I'm tired of talking about it. Let's just go." She was beginning to feel as if an escape door had appeared before her, and if she waited any longer, that might disappear forever. But she couldn't go without Stella. She'd never been without her sister, and part of her wondered if she could ever survive the separation. "Come on," she said. "Do you want to be cleaning after the Duppens forever?" This shows already a clear pattern. Desiree always pushes her sister to be greater, to do more for them, to be together. She loves her sister still, but she takes the lead and she plays into Stella's fantasies of pursuing studies, which she can't do at home. But it's exactly this pattern of who is strong-willed and who takes the first steps that takes a turn after the twins leave to go to New Orleans. Now it's Stella who takes on the part of Desiree to be exploring her options and realizing she can pass as a white woman only helps fuel her need to leave the past behind. Her past hasn't been kind. Their past hasn't been kind to them. But Stella always somehow struggled with the reality of being a black woman and realizing she can actually pass as a white woman. She can pursue her education, whatever she wants to do. Especially to have a white man love her makes her realize she needs to leave behind her past, including her twin sister. But the way in which she leaves Desiree isn't a kind one, because she never leaves behind any information to where she's going. Who is she now? How can Desiree ever find her again? It's only until many, many years later that they meet, because their daughters met on accident, and Jude, who is Desiree's daughter, realizes what has happened. And even then, Stella didn't visit Desiree to reminisce with her, to laugh with her, but to tell her that Jude should stop telling Kennedy the truth. Because Kennedy had been bothering Stella about it. She wanted to know the truth, and Stella wasn't ready to admit that truth. It is only that she visited Mallard to say this, but kind of ended up reminiscing with Desiree about their life, about what happened to them, in the shared grief and knowledge that their mother was about to die very soon. It's an interesting end for the twins. On one hand, they used to be extremely close, inseparable even, but now they've grown apart, willingly by Stella's side, and Desiree has gotten over it, has gotten over losing her sister, over losing a part of her life. So, in the end, it's a balance that has formed between them, between closeness and distance, between who manipulated who, because the sides changed and in the end they both made up with each other. This can't really be said for Kennedy and Stella. Kennedy feels betrayed by her mother, by her unwillingness to actually tell her the truth. And it's there that we see how manipulative Stella had gotten over the years just to protect her truth and her reality of living. Only after the visit in Mallard did Stella finally start telling the truth to Kennedy. Not because she felt as if she owed it, but because she knew Kennedy already knew. And keeping it a secret any longer would be dangerous, because at some point Kennedy would ask her father, and Stella didn't want that to happen at all. It shows that she's ready to be truthful when it's for her own personal gain. Here, she's trying to minimize the consequences. In total, Stella, after her turn in New Orleans, has been leaning heavily into withholding information from anybody around, playing the victim, silent treatmenting her sister. So, it's a clear pattern of manipulation, but one out of fear, not because out of selfishness, but because she just wants to live a normal life. She wants to be almost oblivious to what black people face. She wants to be white, and having gotten her way like this is, in her eyes, the only escape she can have. So admitting she is truly black would destroy everything she has built her confidence, her life upon. But turning away from Stella and her relationships, we can go to the next relationship, which has even worse patterns of manipulation in them. Sam and Desiree. Sam is an abusive man towards Desiree. Not only does he control her financial situation, but he as well abuses her emotionally. He threatens her. He even hit her, causing Desiree to flee her home, including her daughter Jude. Desiree truly has a lot of luck following Sam sending a man to find her, because this man is none other than Early Jones, a man she has known since she was a child, and who makes it very clear that he will not tell Sam where she is, including her daughter. Sam's need for control is almost obsessive. It probably had been a pattern that has been going on for a long time in their marriage already. And Desiree, she was scared, of course, for her own safety, but even more for her daughter's safety, because she knows what happens when a daughter, a child, sees what happens to their parents at a young age. And she wanted to spare Jude the traumatic childhood she had experienced with her father. There are many more character relations which include manipulations I could name, but I think it's more important to ask ourselves, why is manipulation such a central topic in the book? Why do so many characters have so many different ways of manipulating one another? It's simple, because in real life, people manipulate other people as much as it happens in the book. A lot of books romanticize manipulation to a point where you can't really see that someone is being manipulated. But in The Vanishing Half, Bennett clearly wanted to show the readers that manipulation is a bad thing in most cases, and that lying as a protective measure is just as bad as lying in general. Because, as an example, Stella's lies to keep Kennedy safe wasn't really any excuse to lie to her daughter for so many years about the truth, about such an important truth. And I think it's a very, very important thing, especially nowadays, to focus on, because manipulating has been normalized in society. It's normal to lie about smaller things, but smaller things add up to become one big thing. And looking back, the book taught us that people will lie to you. They will lie about big and small things about you. And at some point, you will not realize what is true anymore until somebody tells you maybe something that can lead you to discovering your own truth. And that's exactly why I think The Vanishing Half is such an important book to read. It's not only very well written, but as well reflects a lot of different topics and opinions that we don't get to think about in everyday stress. So I think The Vanishing Half is a very, very well-written book, which makes you reflect on your own emotions and your own actions in a way that rarely any book does nowadays. And it's exactly this specific aspect of the book that makes me love it so much, the realism. You feel actually connected to these characters, not because they're something you want to be, but because they feel realistic, their struggles are realistic. You can truly understand why they act the way they do. And it's not just any random actions that happen because the author said so, but because they have had a history. You get to know them from the very beginning of their lives, of their social forming, of their social standing. So you actually have a background to these characters. And I think that's the aspect I enjoyed most about the book. To wrap it up, I would definitely recommend The Vanishing Half to read. Please check it out. It's an amazing book with an amazing storyline and storytelling, and the way you can actually reflect after reading it is just amazing. And I think that's it for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Kickstart. I hope you enjoyed our little discussion on the topic of manipulation in this book. And I hope to see you in the next episode. Bye.